so this morning, I have a message, and it's about praying at night. Has anybody ever woken up in the middle of the night and go, why can't I go back to sleep? Have you ever thought that? Well, maybe God's saying, I want you to pray. So what we do is we go, well, maybe, let me get up and get a bowl of cereal. Or let me get up and watch something on TV. Or let me go check on the kids. Or let me go clean the kitchen. And then we go, wait a minute, let me pray. So we really need to pray first. Because I'll tell you what, then you won't need to go do all those other things. Because he took care of all those other things. Today we're going to go deep.
Some of you have seen this spoon before. Because God is going to go deep today. You know, at the bottom of eating an ice cream sundae, where's the best stuff? At the bottom. Boy, you just want to get to the bottom where the nuts and the stuff's all mixed together. Well, I hope that's what we eat today. A little bit of that stuff at the bottom of each scripture. Because, you know, you can read it. Like Greg says, he read over Leviticus 8. Just, and then he finally dug in. We got to dig in, don't we? To really learn what God is saying. So what are the advantages of nighttime praying? I'm going to give you a scripture. It's in Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the heaven was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I'm going to stop there. Darkness was there. That's interesting. And then God says, let there be light. So there must have been darkness. Think about it. There was darkness before he said, let there be light. Why would he say, let there be light, if there was light? So when you're praying in the night, you're piercing the darkness. You are piercing the darkness and turning the darkness to light. There's a scripture that tells us that you are the light of the world. And it says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so it gives light to all of the house. So in your darkest hour, you are the light. You are the light. Do you know what to pray when you wake up in the middle of the night? Do you know what to pray? There is a prayer you can pray. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. But have you ever woken up in the night from a bad dream? Have you been waking up and had sweats and you go, that was the worst dream I ever had? I'm going to give you an insight about this, and I'm not going to talk about it in depth today about dreams. But every dream you have is from God. Good, bad, and ugly. Because what happens when God gives you a dream, he's speaking to your soul and your spirit. Sometimes your soul gets a little messed up because it's messy. But your spirit, he talks to, and so you mix it with your soul, your spirit, your subconscious, what happened that day, and you get all this, and so now you need somebody to translate it for you, to give you an interpretation of your dream, right? It's not word for word. It's not like a word from God, unless God stands in front of you and says, thus saith the Lord. I remember when that happened to me one time. I was a young girl, and it was even before I knew the Lord. And I heard his voice. Have you ever heard God's literal voice? And I remember him telling me something, and I did it. And it had changed my whole life. I didn't even know God yet. God calls on people even though we don't know him. But he knows us, and he knows what we're going to do. So in this scripture in Job 33, 14 through 17, Job 33, 14 through 17, it's interesting because it says to Job, the Lord is talking to you one time, he didn't listen. He talked to him again two times, he didn't listen, but he talked to him in a dream the third time. You know why? Because we're too stubborn to hear him when he was talking to us the first and second time. So now he has to revert to dreams to talk to us. And then we have to have an interpreter to figure out what it is God said, instead of just getting the word directly from God. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. So we will hear his voice. We will know what God says. And do you know how you know? I'm going to give you something wonderful here. We're going to dig deep here. We're going to get into our spirit. How you really hear and receive from God is you need to have a life of prayer. What is prayer? Do I have to be on my knees and walk around and grovel all day long? No, it's an attitude of reverence, of love of God, of his presence, every minute of every day. Because when you pray, you're in communication with God, and God's in communication with you. The minute you stop, that's when God can't connect. If I start getting sidetracked on something and distracted by you-know-who, he does it on purpose. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy any relationship you have with God. All right? So, if he's got you over here thinking about what Sister Sue said to you, or the brother did to you, or a friend did to you, and you're worrying about what they think about you, you're not praying, are you? You're not in that prayerful mode. If you want an effective prayer, go to James 5, 15 through 16. It says this in James 5, 15 through 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You know how many times we've read that? The prayer of the faithful. We say it that way, don't we? It's not. The prayer of faith. I'm going to show you today how to get more faith, too. Would you like more faith today?
Amen.
Oh, my. I think we all can use a little bit more faith. Shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it's interesting that the Lord talks a lot about, you know, your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more. I forgive you because you came to me. The leprous men came to the Lord. He healed all of them, but only one got delivered completely because he came back to give God glory. We have to continually have the Lord in our hearts. You know that day when I told you last week how I went to this facility to go inside, and I was getting ready to go in, and God said, no, do not go in. People were streaming in. Okay, well, what's wrong? Why can't I go in? He says, because I said no. I listened to him. Do you know why? I wouldn't have heard him say that if I wasn't in a prayerful mode. If I was just, you know, listening to the radio and driving my car and talking to myself along the way and not really talking to the Lord and praying and hearing him, I wouldn't have heard him say no. We get ourselves into a lot of trouble because we're not listening. If your prayers aren't being answered greatly, because it says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The fervent prayer, it will be effective. Do you have effective prayers, or do you just pray prayers? We're going to talk about that in a moment, the difference between praying and saying prayers. Two different things going on here. The prayer of faith is someone who knows who they are when they ask. Jesus asked God and it was given. It was no doubt. When Jesus prayed, he knew the answer was coming. When we pray, do we know the answer's coming? We want to know the answer's coming. We believe the answer's coming, but it's God's timing the answer's coming. Where to live a life of faith? Every second, a person of faith lives a life of prayer. The scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. That means just acknowledging him in all your ways. That's really what it is. It's putting God first, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to read something to you out of the scripture. Look at Luke 22:44. That's the scripture when Jesus was praying in the garden and great big sweats of drops looked like blood dropping on the ground because he was in such agony. That was the time that he was praying in the night. Do you ever agonize at night when you pray? Are you crying at night? Do you wet your bed when you cry at night? Do you pray at night? You're just crying out to God in the night. You don't do that in the daytime, do you? Not as much as you do at night. And Jesus did the same thing. He had agonizing prayer. He prayed all night. And what did he pray? Lord, thy will be done, not mine. Every time we pray, we have to give something up. Are we going to live a sacrificial life to the Lord? That's what he wants from us. John 17, verses 1 through 26. I do want to read this because this is Jesus' prayer. And I don't think we all read it enough. John 17. This is what Jesus prayed while he was at nighttime. Now, it's a lengthy scripture, and I want you to hang with me for a minute, because it's going to be the pattern you use when you pray at night. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay, so if you look at that first part, he's worshiping God. So that's our clue. The first thing you do when we pray is worship the Lord. Thank him for his goodness. God, you are great. You're majestic. You are all things. You're everything that we had ever dreamed, asked, or hoped for. Job 33 talks about where he is. He formed the world by his wisdom and his instruction, and he's glorified it, and that's how we come to God. But no, what we do is, Lord, I don't feel good. Fix me. No, we need to just simply go, Father, you created me today. Today the day is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't feel good, God, but I'm going to rejoice you anyway. That's where we need to start, not end. We need to start there. And I'm giving you some tips here. We need to start there. And then it says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you, me with your own self and with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. We were talking about that. Rodney, I think. Is his name Rodney or?
Albert.
I don't know why I keep calling him Rodney. Okay, Albert was talking about in our Bible study about, you know, the ear, the blood on the ear, the blood on the hand, the blood on the foot. And he said the ear was to hear, but the blood on the hand was to go. What did Jesus do? He went. He did stuff. He talked to people. He ministered to people. He glorified God through the people. He said, these are mine you gave me, Lord. See, he started praying for the people. And then it says here, for I have given them the words which you gave me. You see, he's taught. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from you. And they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. That's what Jesus said. I pray for them. I don't, get this one. I do not pray for the world. Isn't that interesting? I do not pray for the world. Look at that. John 17:9, it says that. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but them which you have given to me. Us. He's praying for you and me. And all mine are yours and yours are mine. And I am glorified in him. So what we do is we represent the Lord now. We go and do like what Jesus did. And we go and represent the Father and Jesus by our works and our efforts as we love one another. I am now no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, which is Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy filled in themselves. Now he's praying not only for those that he knows, that's going to be heir of salvation or his that God gave him, but now he wants your joy to be full. Do you want to have more joy? That's what he's saying here. I want my joy. You know, we go, well, I can be happy when that happens. No, that's not what we're talking about. There's a deep joy in your heart. When bad things happen, you can still have peace. You can still experience joy and love in the midst of a terrible experience. He wants to fulfill his joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We just sing that like cliche, but we got to look at the word. The joy of the Lord, not my joy. I can't make myself joyful. I'm sorry, I cannot. Now, I can get myself happy. I can get a happy meal. I can have ice cream. I can have chocolate and then get a migraine for 3 days later. But I can tell you that my joy is only filled because of what Jesus has done for me. You know, a person really loves the Lord depending on how much they were forgiven for. I was forgiven for a lot. So I am very thankful. And there are some that go, you know what, I never did anything wrong. I never had anything happen to me. I was always a good girl. I never sinned. I never did, you know. And that's awesome. And they're going to get a great reward for that. But I had to go through some hard knocks. And the Lord pulled me out of them all, and his joy became filled in me. And I have given them your word. And the word was hated. Wow. Because they are not of the world. How many people hate you because of Jesus? Yeah. Hey, I've been kicked out of churches. Have you ever been kicked out of a church who was supposed to love Jesus? The Lord will love me, and he put me here. Matter of fact, last week I even told you, I have been sure of my call and my election. The Bible says to make sure of those things, right? Well, when I made sure of my call and my election, you elected me. So it's on you guys. Just teasing. But I'm telling you the truth. You know how honest I am, right? Do you see that I am transparent? Do you know that I tell you things I tell on myself constantly? I even wrote a book called A Matter of the Mind, and it goes into all of my life experiences and my struggles and pain. But God brought me out of them all. I feel like Paul. Paul says, out of them all, God delivered me. See, that's what he wants to do for you. And then he goes on to say, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Okay, I'm sorry. I wish the Lord would just take me home sometimes, don't you? Maybe when you get saved, can't you just take me home after I get saved? No, he wants to leave you here. It says right here, I'm going to leave them there. But keep us from evil. That's our prayer. Keep us from evil. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We talked about it in our song. I'm traveling on. I'm just a traveling on. We're traveling through. That's what we are. So this is what the Lord says. Jesus is saying this to you. Sanctify them now with your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Listen to this. They don't only pray for the people that are his disciples and those that hear the word and do it, but for them also who shall come to salvation. People who haven't even known God yet. I didn't know God when he spoke to me, but he knew I was going to be. Last week I talked to you about angels being around people who will be heirs of salvation. So Jesus is saying the same thing. I'm going to pray for those that the angels are surrounding, knowing they're going to one day come to me. See, he's already working on your behalf. Neither do I pray for these, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that also may be in one of us. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. In them and I in you and me in you and made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you. You know, sometimes in the world, you have people that do not want to talk to you. They see you coming and they go the other direction because they know that the Spirit of God is upon you. You know, it's not you. Can I tell you that? It's what's in you that they don't want. They don't want what's in you. And then there's others that want what's in you. How many people know to call you when they need some prayer? They know to call you when they need help because they know you've got an answer. But then there's those that will run from you. See, it's not our job to figure who they are out. Only God knows who they are. And the Bible says that the Lord draws them by His Spirit. You can't make anybody believe anything, can you? Have we tried? Have we tried? Have we tried to make people believe the Lord? We can't. We can only give them Jesus in the way that's a representation of our life. When I did an article this last week in the paper, it talked about how do we tell our children about Jesus? And it was just simply be love. Live it, because your actions will speak louder than words. So that's what Jesus did. That was His prayer. That was a prayer He prayed all night, and then He prayed that agonizing prayer. If you look at that picture on the back wall, that's Jesus, and that picture is called the rock, where Jesus is praying to His Father. And this was a time, and I believe it was the Matthew reading that I was alluding to, Matthew 26, 36 through 47, when He said to come pray with me. He picked a couple disciples and said, come pray with me in the garden. I need you to pray with me. So He had the guys sit in one place, and He went a stone's throw and started to pray for the to the Father. He started praying this prayer. And then He started praying about, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. If this cup can only be taken from me, Lord, please, please let it pass, because I know what is ahead of me. I know what's going to come tomorrow. So He comes back out, and the guys are sleeping. So that means it was nighttime. Okay? Didn't say it's nighttime, but I believe they don't sleep in the daytime. They're sleeping at nighttime. He goes, can't you pray with me for 1 hour? He goes back and he prays some more. He comes back a second time. Can't you pray with me for 1 hour? He goes back, comes back, and they're sleeping again. And he says, sleep on. What happened the next day is he got taken into custody and was crucified. He knew what was coming, but he had that agonizing praying at night because he knew day was coming and he needed that support and that strength through that night prayer. So when you wake up in the night, remember what Jesus prayed. And this is how you pray. Worship God. Thank Him. Lord, stumble out of bed, whatever. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I just hit my head on the bed. You know, whatever. Just praise the Lord first and foremost. Jeremiah 51:15 says this. He hath made the earth by His power, and has established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by His understanding. This is the God we serve. Remember when I shared with you the worlds and how earth was so tiny you couldn't even see it after we saw how big the environment and the constellations and the worlds were? We couldn't even see earth anymore. He's huge. He's outside of time. We think Him sitting on some chair in heaven. He can't be sitting on no chair in heaven because He's everywhere. He's bigger. He's outside of time. That's the God we serve. Then He prayed for others. Jesus prayed for others. So when you're praying, wait for yourself. You can pray for yourself in a minute, but pray for others. You know, when I pray, I see every face in this church when I pray, and I lift you up to the Lord. What happened when Job prayed for his friends? Job 42:10. It says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I'm telling you what, you want to be well, you pray for your friends. In Isaiah, I think it's 59, talks about the fast that we're to pray. And at the very end of that passage, it says, you pray for one another and your health will come speedily. Wow, I think we should take God at His word. If our health ain't coming speedily, we better say, Lord, maybe I'm not as where I think I need to be, where I think I am, right? So we pray for our friends, and then you pray for yourself. Jesus said at the cross, Father, Father, why has you forsaken me? He was praying. He prayed for himself. He prayed in the garden. He prayed, God, let this cup pass by me. So how are we to pray at night? The same way Jesus did. Worship God, pray for your friends, and then pray for yourself. So here's a story I'm going to share. It's called, there's no name for it, but it was a David Heppelstein. Tells of a time of a special prayer in his own life. He had great burdens were facing him and apparent injustice was done to him. At the family altar, he prayed earnestly that he might be delivered from those things and from unscrupulous men. The next day, he expressed the same anxiety. His little girl, about 9 years old, came and climbed upon his knee out of the mouth of babes, all right? Put her hands on his cheeks, looked him in the eye, and said, "Father, you prayed about that last night. I wouldn't pray and worry at the same time." What a wise little girl. Don't pray and worry at the same time. You're discounting it. You start to pray and believe, and then you start to worry. And God has to pull it back. You pray and you worry, and then God has to pull it back. That little girl was wise beyond her years. So when Jesus was on the earth, he taught us to pray. He told us that there are a lot of people in the harvest that we need to pray for workers. We need to pray with others. And I have all these scriptures too, but I won't get into them. We need to pray for one another. We need to remember the church is a house of prayer. Pray for God's will in your life. Pray for the Lord's return. Pray for the peace of Israel. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Pray, pray, pray. And you know what? As I was reading through the prayers that God has us pray, I don't see any place where it says to pray for a new car or a new house. I'll tell you why. Because it's covered in Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything that you would like to have will be added." So I was seeking God this last week, and guess what? I think I shared it with a few people. He paid off my house. I'm telling you, that's a miracle. That's a miracle of miracles. I didn't think it was going to ever happen in my lifetime. Because you know the American way. Everybody has a mortgage. Everybody has a car payment. Not in God's economy. He wants you debt-free. So I'm speaking that to somebody right now. Debt-free, debt-free, debt-free. Miraculous debt-free. Amen. The Bible tells us to train a child in the way they should go. So when they are old, they will not depart. So how do we train a child? Just have them learn to desire God. That's it. Easy. Easy peasy. Have them learn to desire God. So how to test your faith. Let's say how much faith you have. You know, on Christmas Eve, everybody knows Christmas Eve. Don't you have presents under the tree for Christmas Day? All right. So on Christmas Eve, you believe without a doubt that you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to open presents. Is that correct? That's the kind of faith we're to have with God. Do we have the "so I know for a fact, for sure" kind of faith? If we don't, we just have to say, "Lord, I need more of that." That's all you have to say. Don't get mad at yourself. We all need more faith. Children say, "I want it now." Does anybody ever say, "I want it now"? But then, of course, God knows our hearts and if we're ready for it or not. If you want an effective prayer, your life just simply needs to be a life of prayer. Of knowing God, putting him first, thinking about him, singing a song in your heart, telling your kids about the Lord. There are a variety of ways that the Lord touched people when he prayed for them. But he uses our faith mixed with him. We have been given a little teeny tiny drop of faith. We've all got some. But it's up to us to decide how we're going to use it. So in closing, there's a story of a man who was healed of cancer. He went to the doctors and he was healed. It's a true story. It's called "I Am Not Him." That's the name of the movie, "I'm Not Him." But it's this man, a sort of man who went to the doctors and he had this big lump on his back and he finally got it removed and it was melanoma and it was all through his body. He had a scan and all that and it was proven that he was full of cancer. He began to pray. And the interesting part about this man is he never stopped praying. He was a prayer lifestyle man. He prayed his life. He had children. His whole life was wrapped up in God. So when he began to pray, the Lord healed him. He didn't have to go, "Oh, I need to go pray about my health now." He was already in a prayerful attitude. So when he prayed, it just connected to his faith. right? So then he was healing people. People were knocking on his door. Come to my house because my aunt is dying. My wife is dying. Can you heal her? He says, I ain't doing anything. I'm just praying. So then a knock comes on the door. He gets served. He got arrested for killing four people. Wait a minute. He didn't even talk to those people. Yeah, but they applied your principle. So you are being arrested for homicide of four people. So then one thing led to another, and I won't tell you the whole story. He did get out of it. But the thing is he said to the people, why did some die and some get healed? Because some people were living a life of a prayerful person and others were just praying. See the difference? When I have a need, I'm going to pray. But you live that life, you'll hear God clearer than anything. You'll know what he's saying without a doubt. You stay in that place of being his child and daughter and son. And oh, you know what? I think I'm 67 years old. I don't know how old I am. Anyway, it's taken me 50 years to get here. So I'm telling you what, have some mercy on those around you. Have a little grace on those around you, because it's going to take some time to get to a place where they're engulfed in the presence of the power of God, so that when you pray, things happen. A fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous person isn't that they're all perfect. It means that they put on Christ, whose righteousness is them, and they know who they are. Simple as that. Now, what if something doesn't happen when you pray? And you know you're praying in faith. You know it, you know it, you know it. Well, you know that it's because there's a reason that God is withholding it from you right now. Doesn't mean no, it just means wait. Sometimes we just have to wait. I have this little, you know those little solar things that have the little heads that bob up and down? Well, I have one that goes like this. Most of them go like this. Mine goes yes. So every time I'm paid, Lord, blah, 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 I look over and he'll be going like this. So every time I look over there, everything is yes to God. Because the Bible says everything is yes and amen to God. So every time I go over there and I go, okay, thank you. The house will be paid off in 3 years. Okay, thank you. I'm going to be, doing this tomorrow. Every time I look at him, he's saying yes. So that's our God. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Pardon?
Husband's supposed to be that. Husband's
supposed to be that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. You're talking. The sham guy's alarm.
Yeah, exactly. So Corinthians 2:9 says this, for to this end I also did write that I might know the proof of you, whether you are obedient in all things. You see, being a prayerful person, you're being obedient. And you're going to be obedient in all things because you're hearing him. Now, the only time you're not going to be obedient is when you flat out say no. But you want to do what God wants you to do. But you need to know what it is before you can do it. And so that's how you know it. By just waiting and listening and hearing and being in that prayerful mode, that place of constant being saturated. Last week I told you could be a wet rag. Be a wet rag for the Lord. Just be soaked in of his presence and you will not go wrong. The Bible says that if you know your calling and election is sure, you will never fail. You will never fall. Never. Wow, that's a promise I can hold on to. When I know that my faith is in the Lord and that I know that what he's going to do, he's going to do. What he said he's going to do, he's going to do. I'm still waiting for a few things. Is anybody else waiting for a few things to come to pass in your life? I'm still waiting, but I'm not giving up because it's just not time yet. Maybe he wants to keep you from a big burden. You see, if you want something, you have to take care of it. The more stuff, the more you got to take care of, the more insurance you have to have, the more, So God wants to make sure that you are, you know what? He wants to have you carry his yoke. He says it is light. If your burden is heavy, then you need to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am not being obedient. I'm not being obedient. That's all you have to say. Lord, I'm sorry. Just have to say, I'm sorry. Help me. So in the end, whenever we pray, we always say, amen, right? What does that mean? It says, I am the Amen. Jesus is Amen. When we say, in the name of Jesus, Amen, that's great. I love saying it and I'll continue doing it. But I could just say, Amen, because in that is Jesus. Jesus is Amen.